Welcome to Sports Connection. I'm Darren Joins, Williamson County Schools Athletic Director. I'm here, sort of here, with my host, co-host, Mr. Tate Matthews. Tate, listen, we were planning on being on assignment this week. We had some scheduling conflicts, so we weren't able to get out there on assignment for golf like we had planned on. But in light of, and that's maybe a tricky word I'm using based on the look of your screen here. But in light of not being able to do that, we sort of remote in honor of the golf tournament.
Yeah. Same deal. We're on remote. We're just not – we thought we were going to be down there watching some golf and with Dolly, but we're not. We're parts undisclosed.
Well, Tate, let's jump right in. Going on this week, we've got district soccer and volleyball getting cranked up this week, golf heading off to the state tournament. Really the football, the picture should be clearer, but I think it's more unclear after this past week.
Which region are we talking about here? It's not unclear for me. I think it's pretty much what.
Oh, well, I was just saying, well, kind of. There's several teams that are 2-1. Talk about,
yeah,
correct. About six leg. You don't think? Oh, I see what you're getting at. You're talking about the. You're feeling pretty good about Brentwood being 2, aren't you?
I mean, trying to tell you.
Well, listen, we'll get to that here in a little bit. Let's jump in with a little volleyball. So,
hey, that's pretty clear.
Yeah, it's Ravenwood. So the tournament. At Centennial, we've got Ravenwood, the 4 seed, versus Centennial, the 5. And by the way, that's no gimme now. No. Centennial has proven they can win that particular game. The winner, unfortunately for the winner, they get to win Nolensville, and that will be an elimination game as well, since only 2 advance to the regional tournament. Brentwood Franklin, who split during the regular season, Brentwood with a 3-0 win last week. Now, over at Independence, we've got Spring Hill Columbia play in. The winner gets number 1 Independence. Then we'll have number 2 Summit and Page. Now, all that being said, give me your thoughts, Tate, about those two locations, Centennial and Indy.
Going to be great volleyball. If you're looking for something to do, get over there and support them. Going to be a lot of great matches, 2 good venues. Centennial is really, you know, everything they've got going on over there, a lot of excitement. And so they're really happy about having the volleyball there. But you mentioned 4 versus 5, Ravenwood versus Centennial. No give me for Ravenwood defeating Centennial. And then I think once the winner comes out of there, no give me against Nolensville. Nobody's done it yet, but they've been close. So pretty scary there. 2 versus 3. I think when's the last time you were able to say Brentwood and Franklin split during the regular season?
Wow.
So obviously, no give me there. And then really like it for Independence, the first seed down there in that region, a program that's really been on the rise, kind of like Franklin the last couple of years. Summit versus Page, I think that's a pick 'em. So we got a lot of tight games going on this week in the district tournament.
Do you – I feel like maybe Franklin – Brentwood seem to be going different directions. Franklin really competed well against Nolensville earlier in the year. Didn't turn out quite that way this last matchup. And also with Brentwood. So I'm just wondering, you know, they're a team that hadn't been there in a while. Maybe rather than hitting their stride and being energetic, seems like last week maybe they took a step back. But I'm not saying they can't get it going this week. What are your thoughts about that semi?
I think they're going to be fine. I think it's, you know, getting that one win out of the way over them during the year, I think that gives them confidence. You know, it's you can always think you're going to do it, but like you said before, until you actually do it, you know, doubt can start creeping in. They know they can beat them. Last week, that doesn't bother me. I think they're fine going into the tournament. Don't know if they'll beat them, but I think it'll be really good matchup.
Now, listen, I'm not counting Indy and Summit and Page out, but there's a real good chance the winner of that district semi, Brentwood Franklin, makes it to the state tournament.
No doubt about it. I mean,
So you're either a semifinalist state tournament team.
Right.
It's tough, man.
Really tough. We know we're going to get two in.
Hunter, we do know that. We know that for sure.
And we think we know for sure what one of who one of them is.
Yes, Nolensville. Today, let's talk a little cross country. Jesse Owens Classic, again, back in Alabama. Claire Stegall won with a time of 17:22.35. Claire, of course, of Nolensville. Lauren Johnson from Centennial finished fourth. Brent Woods and girls both win it. No surprise there. How about those average times, Tate? The boys 18:50, or excuse me, the girls 18:50. The boys 15:29. So on the girls' side, their top finisher was Rachel Hall. She finished 11th. So you're looking, 11th, but like you said, it's adding up when you talk about the depth of their team, and that's how they score points.
Yeah, and what was it, girls or it was the girls that didn't win last week, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Well, good to see them getting back on where they've been for like the last 36 months or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a team. It's a team. They keep the average because it's a team competition, and they might not have the fastest runner, but they've got the best team. And, you know, 18:50 for an average, that's crazy. Yeah. It's going to be hard.
Very difficult to beat. And certainly on the boys' side, 15:29. I thought this was interesting. So you get Brody Chapman, who finishes fourth, Cal Fielder, who finishes eighth. They have times of 15:02 and 15:13. And you can see with that average, 15:29, the team average wasn't a lot different than what Cal had.
No.
So, again, stacking up those good times.
And a very tough meet.
Very tough. Do want to mention Paige, Sophia, Gabby Boutros. They play seventh and eighth at the Beach Light Fever Invitational. That's a night timer.
Got it.
So.
Neon light everywhere or what?
I cannot answer that. So I thought that was kind of cool. Look at the name. The name's obviously very appropriate. A6 Invitational. Fairburn, Georgia. Franklin Boys finished 12th out of 37 teams. So we were quite literally running all over the place when if you're talking last weekend's cross country.
Making our presence felt all over the Southeast.
Hey, speaking of cross country, we had the TMSAA state championship this past weekend, and we did pretty well, and I'm afraid we might get kicked out.
Yeah, TMSAA has been very good to us 2 years in. I think they might not want us in it any longer. Might rescind the offer, but, you know, I don't know how long of a contract you signed with them. pretty much if we're in it, we win it.
Hey, on the girls' side, Tate, Lexi, girls' champion, Class A. Boys' side, Fairview finished second. I thought that was a great showing there. Girls had a good meet, too. Legacy Boys third, Thompson Station fifth. So hats off to Fairview for a great event.
Yeah, that's got to be the highest. You know, we haven't been in it long, but, I mean, that's as – I would think the highest ranking they've ever had in cross country. So, but, you know, we've talked about it. You know, the Fairview high school athletic teams as a whole have all been on the rise. Well, guess what? They're all coming from Fairview Middle. So you're starting to see it there as well. Very fun.
Will Edwards from Fairview finished second. Nicholas Pinto from Thompson Station was third. Janie Green's Legacy finished second. On the double A side, and this won't be surprising, some of these names. Brentwood, the champion on the girls' side, Paige third. On the boys' side, Woodland was your champion. Brentwood, runner-up. So you're seeing that trend of, hey, how they're doing at the high school level. You can back up and look at the middle school. It makes a lot of sense when you take a look at those results.
Funny how that works, isn't it?
Hey, Nigella and Natalie Smith from Paige, they finished third and fourth. So we've got the Boutros sisters who are there. We're getting the Smith sisters who are going to join them. It'd be the the Smith and Boutreaux. So we need one more name. We can be like a, they'll have their own little law firm.
Law firm. I like it.
Hey, on the boys' side, Connor Fish from Page wins first. So he's the champion. Kevin Rocha from Woodland second. Luke Heron from Brentwood is third. Our friends at T.W. Hunter, love T.W. Hunter. They're zoned for Beach High School. They used to sort of dominate some of these events. That's over.
That's over? Yes. I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you. You're right. I hope you enjoyed it. Cherish it. Not going to happen for a while. Again.
Not with our teams there.
No. Hey, man, talk about, because you're talking about legacy this year. They did the same thing last year. Didn't they win one of them last year? Instant right. success. Instant in the cross-country success. World legacy.
Instant. And they had a great track meet, too. Yes. One of the girls had an unfortunate disqualification in the last meter. They were one of the girls and the boys when you're talking track. So, yeah, legacy's on the move, no pun intended, when it comes to cross-country and track. Hey, Tate, let's talk about golf. Now, you know, one of the things that I kept shaking my head about, when you look on the boys' side, the boys' individual, we had a golfer and two golfers that were one under, and that only got them in a playoff. So one of our one unders didn't make it. And then we had another young man, and we'll talk about names specifically here in just a second, who was even par, and that didn't even get him in a playoff. Golf could be as dominant a sport as we have, to be honest with you.
It's definitely got a case. That's a tough pill to swallow right there, man. To shoot that well. And so
it's tough.
That's tough.
It's tough. So one team advances on both sides. Mr. September, Teddy Craig, the Ravenwood girls finish as champions. Paige had won the boys and girls at the district level. Three teams advance. Now it's just one out of the region. Ravenwood with the win on the girls' side. Paige comes through on the boys' side. Both of those teams and their members advance to the state tournament this week. In Sevierville, the top teams, so those two teams, and then three low individuals who aren't on those teams. So let's talk about that. Girls, Ravenwood wins with the plus 18. Paige, four strokes back, finishes second. Franklin, third. Girls, Sophia DiPaolo's your champion, and she advances. Hannah Ruth Walton finished second for Ravenwood. The other girls qualifier, Brooke Bennett, a freshman from Paige, had to play her own teammate in the playoff. That was kind of a bummer.
Yeah, there's a line on that, leave it alone. But yeah, that's crazy. Freshman, DiPaolo, she won her third region championship in a row?
She's so dominant. Listen, I think she wins that state title.
I do too. So district champ again, third region championship in a row. She's the defending AA state champ. Glad she's back because I think she's going to defend the title. But, hey, man, as a freshman, Brooke Bennett headed to the state. You know, she can't even drive. That's pretty strong.
Very strong. On the boys' side, Jacob Purifoy for Brentwood shoots a -467 to win it. Michael Hake from Ravenwood and Grant Clark from Page tied at 2 under. Now, look at those team boys' scores. Third place Ravenwood, plus 6, which is a great score. Runner-up at even par, Brentwood, and they don't make it. Page comes through with a -1. What a great year for Page golf, and it's not over yet.
It really is. I mean, the defending state champs, you know, a lot of us thought they were going to get back again. And so for Paige to defeat them, to go, that's huge. Can't wait to see it turn out when they get there. So, you know, we talked about that all week long, Paige, Brentwood, Ravenwood. I think any one of them could have won it. Paige won it. Hey, and how about this, while we're always taking our shots at the specialization experts in the world, Jacob Purifoy, point guard, basketball team, didn't seem to hurt him playing multiple sports. Congratulations, Jacob.
Yeah, great job by him. again, and the conditions were tough. It was a very windy day last week, so you saw the scores maybe come down just a little bit, or actually go up, if you're talking golf. But still, great score from him, 67. I mean, that's pretty strong. Purifoy, so he advances because his team didn't. Hake from Ravenwood, he advances because his team didn't. And then Sam Johnson of Brentwood defeated Will Pinson of Franklin in the playoff. Pinson had won the district tournament. They have to play off, and Johnson ends up winning the playoff with a birdie to advance. Will Pinson at minus one does not make the state tournament, and Bo Twirtle of Nolensville shot an even par and didn't even make the playoffs. I mean, those are some staggering numbers. Because at the state tournament, there will be a lot of scores like in the 90s and over 100.
Yep.
So it's tough.
It's kind of like in volleyball. You know, soccer, we're going to have a really good team left at home. You know, it's tough. I wish there was a different setup, but that's the way it is.
Well, you know, I do think it and I wish maybe basketball and some of these other sports would learn, in particular basketball, where four teams advance out of the district. Maybe time to scale that back a little bit, because it does make it more desperate, so to speak, and exciting. It's a tournament.
That's right. I think we're going to do well. I'm excited.
Very excited. I think we're going to have some great results. I feel a team championship coming on your tape, Matthews.
I do too. It's going to have a different name on it.
No question. Hey, let's talk a little football. We had some great games this week. We're going to start off with the WCTV game of the week, the Battle of Franklin. It did not disappoint. It goes to overtime. Centennial comes out with a 21-14 hard-fought win. Game day was there. What a great crowd from the flagship.
The flagship brought it. The crowd was unbelievable. We got started a little early Friday night, but 5:45. So I know by 5:15, the stands were already packed. That's when I got there. It might have been before that. So a good 2 hours before the game, the entire student section was packed. From side to side, front to back. It was unbelievable. Great energy. Incredible. What about our man, student leader, Jackson Knotts? He had him hyped up, ready to go. They brought the juice, to quote Dr. Qualls, for sure.
They really did. And, you know, it's been a few years since they had a game day. And so when students haven't seen that, for them to step that up like they did, great job for Miss Thompson, her crew, and all the folks there at Franklin High School accommodating us, because they had a lot going on with homecoming. But yes. Dr. Pantol said, bring it on. Bring on.
He's never going to turn game day down. You know that.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. Great. The cheerleaders, the band, everybody involved was fantastic. They gave Coach Kreisky a nice welcome when he came up to the desk or the set. It was fun. Everything about it was fun. And then, hey, what did we do? We followed that up with an unbelievable football game.
Well, speaking of the game, so it starts off, Franklin scores on the opening drive. Brewer Wilson to Lucas Young for a touchdown, another young fella. No pun intended, Lucas. Young in age, young in name. He'd been out, and let me tell you, he's a weapon. He really is. So when I watch Franklin, you know, I've seen them progress. Watching them the other night, they certainly didn't look like an 0-6, now 0-17. They continue to get better, and those bodies are looking bigger too.
Yeah. You know, they're kind of where Centennial was 3 years ago, two and a half seasons ago. I guess a little bit more and a half now. They're just young. We've talked about this sophomore class for a long time, and you're starting to see what we're talking about with this class. There's a lot of them, and they're guys that can make plays. And, you know, I don't even like to mention their record anymore. You're right. They're much better than what their record shows. Had a chance to win this game. They've really been in every game but maybe one, and had a chance to win it. So, you know, you love to see the Admirals, you know, mailed it in for the season. Obviously not. They have not. They're competing. They're fighting. And then on the other side, this is something that Coach Kreisky and the Cougars needed. They needed to be in a tough game like this that came out to the end where they had to win at the end, and they did this. Been the case, you know, in the past few years. So I think, you know, a little too close for comfort. I'm sure Coach Kreisky would have liked for it to have been put away earlier, but I think this was really important for this team to be able to have to do this and then to get the win.
You know, I thought it was interesting. I don't know if you saw this, Tate. Opening drive for Centennial, they drive the ball down. Sam Cochran thinks he's made this 35-yard field goal, but Franklin actually got called for a dead ball encroachment penalty. So they wipe it off, they scoot him up, and then he misses the 30-yarder. Got to be frustrating for Sam and obviously Coach Kreisky and that staff, too. It was kind of an odd situation when, you know, for there for a second, you think it's 7-3. Oh, penalty. We can't decline it because it's a dead ball penalty.
Right.
It was wild.
I'm sure that's a tough pill to swallow. They didn't take the points off the board. The stripes made them take the points off the board.
Correct. That's exactly what happened. Hey, Tate, let's take a look. Centennial did tie that game, and it's our play of the week.
Leaves a lot of open space on that top side for Lee to potentially bust one.
Yeah. Here he goes. Will he get there? Yes, sirree. Touchdown. Centennial Cougars, 51 yards by number 24, Tanner Lee, the junior. Give us a little something right here, Justin.
Yep, number 55 with a nice pull block. Able to get out there and get his hands on number 11, Zach Cowher. And after that, it's Tanner Lee to the races.
Yeah, I mean, if you're saying Tanner Lee, let's race, put your money on Tanner Lee. Yeah,
absolutely.
Hey, what about my man Graham Bendorf, number 55 over there, pulling, getting upfield, making the block that springs him. Tanner Lee, he's one of their explosive playmakers. He takes that thing to the house. That's exactly how you draw it up right there, Coach. Make no mistake about it. Tanner Lee's name got in the paper. That play doesn't happen without Graham Bendorf.
No question. This continued to be sort of a defensive struggle. It was 7-7 into the second half. Thompson King of Franklin, they score on defense. He just rips the ball away from the ball carrier. Almost looked like a rugby scrum. He comes out with it. 49 yards later, Franklin's up 14-7. A couple of times they had decent drives going, but couldn't extend that to a two-score lead. With 6 minutes left, gutsy call by Coach Kreisky and that Centennial staff. They switch and they put Dominic Reed in in the Wildcat formation, the Cougar formation. And
did you make that up, or is that what they call it?
I made it up.
I like it.
59 yards on that drive. He had 59 of their 64 yards. Dominic Reed ends up scoring a touchdown to tie it. Again, gutsy call by them.
Gutsy call, but it's something they've worked on, and it's a great package, right? It's a heck of a weapon. You know, they get another blocker. Dominic Reed is he could be the starting tailback, you know, if they didn't have so many guys there that can play different plays. So, it's something that they've worked on, is something that they know is tough to stop, and what a great way to eat up the clock. So, again, I can't say enough good things about how Centennial was able to tough this out, grit this out, and get this win. Because again, in the past, they have not done that. So, that's a sign of how mature this football team is. Hey, by the way, I meant to tell you, Twitter. You might need to do a little checking on Twitter. There were some pictures posted of after game day. I heard PETA has gotten pretty worked up over the cougar on a stick that Dr. Qualls had during Pick'ems. No, he did not bring it. It came from the student section. But get ready. PETA's about to come after you.
But the students said they had grilled that up. I said, hey, you left the hair on it. Good times. Hey, in the overtime, Centennial, they keep it going. Second play, Reed scores again. Franklin ends up getting backed up a little bit during their possession. The incomplete pass, fourth down from the 16-yard line. Complete bedlam. Centennial wins the game. They end up with 284 yards rushing. Tanner Lee, 23 carries, 138 yards. Brewer Wilson, another good game for Franklin, 13 for 21 from the QB spot. Hey, another great game, Tate. Another overtime. Brentwood Independence. This is the one you were referring to earlier. It looked like I was going to be in charge of second place. 17-3 lead for Indy into the third quarter, and I'm looking pretty good. But listen, these Brentwood teams, this is something that you see from Brentwood.
Yeah.
They're never out of the game. Not only do they come back and tie the score, get a couple of fourth quarter scores, Grant Nelson to Clayton Merrill. Nelson throws another touchdown to Matthew Manding with 2 minutes left in the game. In overtime, the ball first. Adam Fontesha, again, out of the Bruins package, takes the snap. He scores on the first play, and Brentwood's won the game when Indy seemed to have dominated for so long.
Yeah, this was a huge win. You got to think it's for second place. I know Centennial still has something to say about that. But huge win to come back down 17-3 and to get that win at home. I think Grant Nelson played his best game as a quarterback for the Bruins. Remember, Coach Finch talked about it. He didn't get here till June. You know, it's not an easy offense to learn in 3 weeks. We had 2 weeks of the dead period after that. But he played his best game. Clayton Merrill came back. Sophomore wide receiver Clayton Merrill was back. He and Matthew both had double-digit receptions, and Matthew went over 100 yards, had a touchdown. I think Clayton had a touchdown as well. So they've got all their weapons back. And then Fontesha, not only did he score that make that overtime on offense for the touchdown, I'm pretty sure he had the defensive stop to win it in overtime as well. So this is a big win. Brooks Sapone, don't call me Capone, Sapone, 14 for 23, 258 yards, 3 touchdowns, his best game as a quarterback for Indiana. So you hate to see him lose this one like that, but you know, got to be very happy for the Brentwood side as well. I think for Independence, even though it was a loss, they got to feel good about this game. I thought there was a bigger gap between Brentwood and Independence. Obviously not.
Log jam for second now, Tate. I know you're not really saying it's a log jam, but we got Brentwood, Centennial, and Indy all 2-1.
But that's a log jam.
But certainly Brentwood and Centennial both are going to control their own destiny here now. Which, if Indy wins out, they do too, but not looking great on tiebreakers on some of these.
Correct. Yeah, where's overall record in this?
It's on down the line. Hopefully, I hope it doesn't get to that. That's the one that seems so random because of how you schedule and how you have to schedule. I think it's going to be clear before it's over.
Yeah. Centennial wins overall record.
Ravenwood, 35-10 over Summit. The big story, though, Ravenwood is without Chris Parson. They get a heavy dose of Carter Pace in that particular game. 32 carries, 186 yards, 3 touchdowns in that 35-10 win. And speaking of Carter Pace, this week's gem, Tate. He carried the ball 12 times during a 15-play scoring drive, capped it off with his third touchdown of the night. And thank goodness that coach gave it to him. You don't want to carry it 11 times and not get the TD. You want that 12th one, the touchdown, since he pretty much took care of the entire drive.
Got you all the way down. Yeah. Coach knew what he was doing. And hey, that's what I thought too. You know, 15, 20 carries, that's one thing. 32 carries in a game, that's tough. That's tough guy stuff right there. So 32 carries, 186 yards, and 3 touchdowns. That's proved, you know, they've proven if that's what they got to have to do to line up and run the ball at you, the majority of the game, they couldn't get a win. Cartua Chapman goes in there at the – are we going to call that the Raptor package now? That's kind of their Raptor package. Hey, he only threw the ball 3 times, but they didn't have to throw the ball. He can throw it, right? So that would worry me a little bit. You know, we're getting this running game developed even more. but he can do it. And obviously he's a guy who can make a play with his feet too. So, hey, you can make no mistake about it. Coach Hester is going to use this to have a chip on the Raptors' shoulders that, you know, they don't think we can win without our quarterback. They don't think we're tough enough. You can bank. All those things are coming. And the way they ran the ball, and I know you're going to talk about it in a second, the way the defense played, I would say they heard that message.
Well, the Ravenwood defense, they give up only 104 yards, 55 of those yards on that late score from Logan Frazier. So throughout the game, 50-ish yards for most of the game. They also scored on a Drake stolen work. That's pretty good. Maybe it's – we're going to go with that on the pronunciation since he stole the ball, so to speak. But he gets the fumble recovery for the touchdown. Defense stepped it up. Admittedly, not one of the better offenses they're going to see. But Summit had been hanging in there and playing well. We talked about their game with Beach the week before. But Ravenwood left no doubt in this one early.
No doubt. Defense had it, was flying around, had a chip on their shoulder. And you're right. That's not the best offense they've seen all season. It doesn't matter. You hold a 6A program to under 100 yards of total offense, you played well, period.
Fairview, 30-6 over White House. Mays McCoy, 13 of 20. 361 yards and a touchdown. Layden Grant, what did he do? 26 carries, another 112 yards. This is a good win. We knew going in that Fairview would be the favorite here. But White House got a great program, tough kids, but Fairview dominates this game from the onset.
Yeah, I think that it goes to show that these are kind of similar programs, but I think Fairview has really gone way ahead of them athletically, and I think that showed up in this game. Yeah, White House is tough. They're going to fight. Coach Hamilton's a great coach. They're going to be well coached. BDP, man, they take a lot of pride in their program, but I think this is where you kind of see where – not to – obviously Fairview is very well coached under Coach Hughes as well. They're more athletic than these teams, and I don't think you always used to be able to say that. We talked about it last week. You can see Mays McCoy starting to come into his own at quarterback, 13 for 23 passing, 161 yards on a touchdown. Layden Grant does what Layden Grant does. Crawford Claxton had two touchdowns. You know, he had another great game as well. So that's what I think is pretty neat. We already knew about those other guys. Mays is coming around. First year as a starter, right? So what's this, 6-7 games under his belt? He's not a new starter anymore. And I think he's poised to have a really nice playoff run.
Paige Nolensville, let's talk about that. So game day, Tate, we talked about these together. Let's do it again here. We're short on time. Plus, there's not a ton to talk about when it comes to close ball games. Paige, 48-13 over Columbia. Nolensville, 42-6 over Spring Hill. For Paige, Ethan Cunningham, two rushing touchdowns. Colin gets a couple of touchdown passes. Nolensville, Samson Johnson gets his two touchdowns in, Tate. Kobe Walton, another big night, 257 yards passing. Hey, one thing that did stand out to me, though, and I think these coaches were nervous about this, only 13-7 at halftime of that Paige game. Of course, actually, they were down 13-7. They scored 41 points in the second half. I think coach got their attention. We're not looking ahead. They took care of business once they got it rolling.
Yeah. The con in that, you hate that you're down to Columbia when you shouldn't be. The pro to that is we can come out and score 48 points in a half. That just, you know, again, how explosive they are. And then, you know, it's crazy how similar these two teams are. We've talked about it, but you know, Nolensville, they ended up winning 42-0. I think we all agree Columbia is a better team than Spring Hill, but they scored zero. It was 0-0 at the end of the first quarter. And I know Coach Derek, how can you, as my man, Coach Joyne says, don't ever apologize for a win. He wasn't apologizing, but he was a little bit upset about that. He wanted to start fast. They didn't. And then they came out and scored 14 in every other quarter. So all the similarities of these teams, and then both of them, I think they would be lying if they say they didn't get caught looking ahead to next week. But then they kind of, you know, got back into it and took care of business and both score over 40 points. This is an epic matchup next week.
Well, and then with players, listen, they know.
Well, the film don't lie, right? Yeah,
they know. You can try to con them into what you want to, but
right.
They knew they weren't losing those games.
Correct.
Pick'ems last week, Tate. The fans, 6-0. They went undefeated. The rest of us went 5-1. So now you're still in first with 45 wins, 45-7.
Well, this talk about it. This is tight. It's tight race.
It's getting tight. 45-8. I'm in second. Dr. Qualls and the fans both with 43 wins, but only two games separate fourth or tied for third and first. So a lot to still play for. Fans, keep voting on Twitter, WCSCO Athletics. All right, let's jump right in here, Tate. Brentwood, Franklin. Now, listen, you're in a little bit of a conundrum here.
I am.
You said Brentwood's going to finish second. They have to win this game to finish second. You also said you weren't going to pick against Franklin until they win. So you're lying to the folks here. I mean, that's – we don't
encourage. I'm about to let somebody down.
You have to. So what are you going to do, Tate? You going Franklin? You going Brentwood?
Well, I'm getting ready to let you down too, because your Jedi mind trick did not work. And I'm sticking with my original statement from Media Day at Mojo's Tacos on August the 1st. I think Brentwood finishes second in the region. To do that, they will have to win Friday night. I'm going with the Bruins.
I agree. I'm going Brentwood in this, but I'm telling you, I think it could be a close competitive game the way Franklin's been playing.
I agree.
Centennial versus Ravenwood. I'll pick first on this. At Centennial, big time game. They can get right in the championship part of the race if they could knock off Ravenwood. Ravenwood, will they be without Parson again? Will Chapman have to throw the ball a little bit? Those are all great questions. I think it's a close game. I'm picking Ravenwood, though. But I think it's close. I would not be surprised with Centennial win.
Boy, talk about messing the playoff picture up. That would do it for sure. Centennial 6-1. Oh my gosh, what a great record! I'm going with Ravenwood. I think they're 6-2 after Friday.
All right, so no changes yet. No differences yet. We're not going to have a difference in Game 3. Fairview versus Camden in a non-region game. We don't think this one's close, do we?
No. Wait, do we know where it is? Is it at home?
Home.
Is it Camden?
No, Fairview.
It's at Fairview. Oh, good, good. Yes, this one is good chance Coach Hughes has the boat captain hat on.
I agree. Blowout. WCTV, game of the week. Independence Summit in the border battle. I think this is going to be a tough one, but I think Indy bounces back. You know, you would think after the week they had, they were up 14. They had to be disappointed losing that game. I think they bounce back, though. In fact, I think it's fortunate for them that this is the game they're playing, the border battle, because it'll naturally get them fired up. I'm going Indy in this one, Tate.
Yeah, you would hope after a heartbreaker like that, and they've had a few, you would hope there's no trouble getting up for the border battle. Big brother, little brother. Little brother has had the upper hand for the past few years. So I'm with you. Summit's tough. They're going to play hard and fight, but I do think they are outmatched when it comes to Independence. If Independence is in the right frame of mind, I think they are. Indy wins, but this is like Franklin and Brentwood. This is a tough fought game, but Indy wins.
Will we have a difference in this last game? Nolensville versus Page at Nolensville. 7-0, Page 7-0. Both are 3-0 in the region. This is for the region championship. It's also going to determine who hosts when they play again later in the playoffs. Yes, you heard it here. They're definitely playing in the playoffs. Your pick, Tate. Who you got on this one?
Wow. Golly. I mean, what a matchup. Game day. I think it's the MyTV 30 game, correct? I'm pretty
That's
sure.
Correct.
I think Lucas and Will are going to be there. It's the 104.5. Everybody wants to be a part of this.
Oh, yeah.
Get there early. I really
senior do. Night, senior nights at night.
Senior night. Ooh, I don't like that. That's a distraction. Paige has been, you know, they've been winning this one. They were at the kind of got after them last year. So psyche is, you know, do they have the upper hand confidence wise? They're the defending runner up. I'm going with the Nolensville Knights, man. I think there's something. I think there's something about this team. I'm going with the Knights.
Wow.
But I think it's going to be a fantastic game.
I think it's going to be a great game, too. It's a good pick. I'm picking Paige.
Uh-oh.
I'm looking to tie this thing up. I think it's a pick-ems kind of game. And, hey, listen, I told the Paige faithful, not picking against you. I picked against them the first couple of weeks. So
I'm You're a man of Paige. Your word. You're a man of your word.
Man of my word.
Hey, if you know, you could actually take the lead if you – if you want to pick Camden.
No.
Okay.
So, hey, man, I appreciate you being on the show remotely. Listen, we just jumped right back on the bike like we used to do this thing.
Hey, man, we got to be pros at this back in COVID. I apologize for the lighting. it is not intentional. I'm sorry. But, hey, seriously, if you don't, I know we have great support in Williams County. If you have a kid or a daughter or a son or a daughter in the band, part of any other of these games, of course you need to be there and you will be there. But if you have something to do, get your tail out to Nolensville. This is going to be a great way to spend your Friday night for sure.
Maybe the best game in the state that night.
It's I don't know of one better. Can't be one. And the atmosphere is going to be electric.
Tate, appreciate you being here today.
You too, brother. Appreciate you. See you Friday.
Thank you for joining us for Sports Connection. We'll see you next time.